You're listening to Raheem and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Downfield shot for Duvernay, and he's got it. Devin Duvernay, the new addition. A nice strike from Tyson Bagent for the burst. Big pass play of the day at 18 yards. Play clock winding down. It's Keenum. 13-year NFL veteran is going to sling it for the touchdown. Fade route. Walker. It is touchdown for Chicago. And the Bears have the lead again.
It was awesome to hear Adam Amin on the call. Jim Miller was there as well. Jim Miller with a bit of the glow up, man. Longer hair. Shaved his facial hair.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
He ain't getting older. He getting more distinguished.
Change it up. Jim Miller was on the call as well. Also Stacey Dales. And it was great to hear Stacey on the call. I really enjoyed listening to her analysis. I thought one of the best things that actually she talked about, Marshall, and this is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score, talking Bears and yesterday's game, was her discussion of how you have to evaluate Ozzie Trapillo at left tackle versus what you're seeing out of Braxton Jones. Now, you guys know I have been hard on Braxton Jones, but the reason it takes me 4.5 hours to watch the game like it did yesterday is because I give my DVR a workout. I will pause the tape. I will rewind. I will look at a play 3 times, 4 times during the game sometimes to see what went wrong, what went right, and how. And when I'm seeing 70 get pushed into the quarterback multiple times or get beat on a play, first thing I'm asking right now is, was he really healthy? And then the second thing is he a better left tackle right now than what we're seeing out of the rookie Trapillo? And Stacey said during the game, and I thought it was a very good way of putting it, that you're really evaluating Trapillo on two people, 2024 Braxton Jones and 2025 post-injury Braxton Jones. What I feel like I saw yesterday was a different Braxton Jones than what even we saw last season. You give him some time because he's a veteran and he's earned it, but we all know what's happening there, and that is truly a position battle.
Well, we know it's a month, right? And it's interesting because when you hear the Bears talk about the left tackle position, the fact that it was going to be a three-way battle, now Kieran Amagaji is dealing with an injury now. That's taking him out of the mix, and now it's a two-person battle. And you know they want to coalesce as soon as possible, that starting five, because there's so many different people involved. If Braxton Jones is not involved, that would be 4 new starting linemen to go alongside Darnell Wright at the right tackle position. And I'm sitting here watching the left tackle position specifically yesterday, wondering a couple of things. Much like you, I saw Braxton Jones. I was like, is he fully healthy?
He already plays so upright anyway that it's hard to tell and marry what the ankles were doing with what the arms and the body are doing there. You know, and he's tall. He's 6'5".
He ain't as tall as Ozzie Trapillo, though, who's 6'8", but who's also healthy, but who's also a rookie and has never done this before, who also played right tackle last year. You can start listing all the things. And so when you talk about that comparison, 2024 Braxton Jones, who also wasn't healthy the entire season, mm-hmm. and then post-injury Braxton Jones, who we don't know what percentage he's actually at, because it can't be 100 based on what I saw yesterday, or else the Bears are in trouble.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it, is you're having to figure out, is this person's 75% as good as another person's 100? And that's part of it, too. Hey, speaking of offensive line combinations,
yes,
Ray, Robbie, Marshall, you guys see Jermaine Ifedi and Larry Borum out there?
Oh boy, those names. Names of the past.
I saw Ifedi, the traffic cone. I saw him.
I saw the ISO on Larry Borum. And then I was like, Jermaine Ifedi. And then I start thinking, I'm like, false start. Jermaine Ifedi. Ah,
bringing back those memories.
Those were the
warm,
days.
Bad game memories.
What? I was like, Borum.
You know what that was an exercise in, though, Layla, being honest, is offensive linemen are hard to find.
That
you
part.
Can have a bad, you know, career going with one team, but another team will take a flyer on you because they need to know maybe you were just in a bad situation and keep it moving. It goes back to, remember when Tevin, over the offseason, you saw how high up he was on the list of available offensive linemen, and you're like, oh, like he's going to make somebody happy when they sign him.
Man,
Tevin Jenkins.
Also, And you know, I felt like Larry Borum was a very capable backup. So I'm not surprised that he got a job either. I think as we evaluate the personnel, we have to talk about what we saw more out of Tyson Bagent and Case Keenum, who I both think brought a lot to the game yesterday. And again, when I hear them talk and I hear them talk about what they've seen so far in camp, how is it going to look on the field? And I feel like once again, there were consistencies there. So let's listen to what Ben Johnson had to say about his backup QBs.
Yeah, no, I thought both of those guys operated at a high level. We've been having, you know, some ups and downs over the course of camp, just operation, pre-snap penalties and all that. And I felt like we weren't 100%, but we were pretty smooth. I mean, there were some things that got thrown at us over the course of the game, whether, you know, cover zero or, you know, they're playing base to 11, you know, and so things are changing pretty quickly there. And yet they were able to stay calm and composed and make sure we were organized and gave us a chance to have a good play. So I know it wasn't all fun and games out there in terms of getting yards and all that, but I thought they did a great job keeping the unit going.
So listening to that, it sounds like he's pleased, but you can tell there's room for improvement along the way, which preseason game number one, that's kind of what I expect to hear.
The first two drives. Can't be doing that in the big schedule. Can't be doing that on Monday Night Football.
It's not optimal, but depending on the flow of the game, you know, you can not do stuff. You can go 3-and-out in your first two drives in a game and win the game. But you want to look as crisp as possible with your first 15 plays that are pre-scripted, and this is what our plan is. And if you can't do anything, it is, hey, how good is your play caller at making adjustments? Because clearly what he came out to shoot with was not working. Either that or the execution.
As far as a position battle is concerned, I still think Bagent has the edge over Case Keenum.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. Bagent is the backup quarterback. Keenum is the third quarterback. I think they will keep three quarterbacks. But let me tell you something. Watching Case Keenum in that game against the Dolphins, backups, smooth.
Yeah, he's a veteran presence. You know what else I saw that we didn't see in the past, I don't know, several years?
What's that?
Just how comfortable he was in the pocket. You saw a confident quarterback actually step up into the pocket.
And that's with pressure coming or not, right?
I want to also make the point that this is a guy who, as you know, I respect tremendously because he is the NCAA passing yard record holder, touchdowns too. The guy knows how to throw a football. But when you can see that the Bears are making a starting quarterback that comfortable where he can do that, he has that movement at the line of scrimmage, that's an incredibly good sign. I also want to point out, I know we've talked about Kyle Manungai and what we want to see out of him. Kyle Manungai, respectively, from the pure role of running, I think did his job. It's the pass blocking where I need to see more, and that, how are you using your size? How are the Bears using you in those ways that we need you to? Because I do think about David Montgomery and how good he was at pass blocking, not just with Detroit now, but when he was with the Bears here. Moving to the defensive side of the ball, I don't know how we all don't come away from this saying Austin Booker has shown tremendous growth. He was the game force when it came to who stood out for the Bears on Sunday.
If you can have an MVP in a game in which you did not win, Austin Booker would have been the MVP in this game. Three sacks, forced fumble. That man was he was not only Tasmanian devil-like in his energy, but really in his consistency throughout the game. Even if he wasn't making the play, he was right there.
It wasn't just that. And people can say, oh, it's the talent he was facing, X, Y, and Z. No, it was how he was moving at the line of scrimmage. The moves he used to beat his opponent. You saw a spin move. You saw a strong arm. There are clear tactics there. There were times where I expected him to get from what was the left side, if you're looking at the offense, if you're the quarterback, the left side of the play all the way over to the right, like closing out like an NBA defensive player, because he was that fast and he was athletically overmatching everyone. I think you're seeing a marriage there of his skill set to go along with his traits.
He's a year older. He was young when he came out. And now what we knew was going to be a quote-unquote developmental player looks like he's been doing some developing. So the question becomes now, okay, where is he going to end up by the end of the preseason on the depth chart for Dennis Allen, and how will he be utilized?
I really liked what Anthony Heron had to say on the Fox 32 postgame show with Lou Kanellis. Ant went so far as to mock it up for the viewers. He used Lou as a prop in his example or a tackling dummy of how he's supposed to relate, like how Austin Booker was standing in the angles he was using. So picture Anthony Heron right now standing behind Lou Kanellis, facing you watching the show, and here's what Ant Heron had to say about Austin Booker.
Last season was supposed to be sort of a redshirt developmental year for Austin Booker. He actually got a lot more playing time during the season than we anticipated last year. And we've seen other pass rushers come through this town in recent seasons where we haven't necessarily seen that development. Now, in this first preseason game today, there are some signs of that development. Do me a favor, partner. Just take like one step forward. I want to just quickly display for folks where, you can face the camera. You can even look at us in the monitor. Okay. Where Austin Booker has grown a lot of times as a long pass rusher, like if he were rushing on most offensive linemen, you might see Austin Booker's head over them, but the issue is he would always rush down the middle. Now you saw today examples of him attacking the outside half, outside third of blockers with more pad level. So when you get a flat back, you can really enhance your ability to use leverage into a blocker, and he got rid of. He was talking about the long arm he used where the offensive tackle fell down on the ground. So he gets into the guy with leverage into his sternum and then quickly falls off into that gap. That's where he's getting rid of those blockers. He's able to now elude blockers in a way that's a lot more deceptive, a lot more elusive, and it takes advantage of his actual frame because he's not a hulking pass rusher. He's not going to overpower everyone he rushes against. But because he's got long arms and he can rush with leverage, that's where you can utilize your levers and your limbs to take advantage of the movement skills that he possesses. But some guys develop that as pass rushers. Some guys really never get to that stage where they do it consistently. It's only a preseason game. It's the first one. But we saw a lot of positive signs of the development that seems to be happening with Booker.
My favorite part was, did you guys watch it? Like, did you see where Lou's just standing there looking at the camera the whole time while Ant's moving behind him?
Lou, very undersized, is that mannequin, if you will.
Ant was you could see most of Ant's face when he was standing behind. But that's the point when it comes to the advancements that Austin Booker has made. It's not just, oh, he looks better. It's here's why he looks better. And when you saw how he was dominating his opponents at the line, that's what made everything work.
I want to see if that continues, and I'm not skeptical. I'm just hesitant to anoint because he did pop last year in the preseason, and I want to make sure that this is not fool's gold is the wrong term. I want to make sure that this is something that is sustainable.
I don't know how you bet on it because there's really no way to bet on it. Like, I'm not putting a number on anything,
right. But.
I think I'm going to see the guy I'm going to see this season.
Oh, you think that kind of performance can hold up and you can at some point in the regular season see a guy who's out here making sacks?
Is he going to be running past everybody that way when you're facing the ones? No, I don't believe so because the speed will catch up. You know, the difference is not going to be as vast. But when I see somebody who is a disruptive presence and somebody who you can use in those ways based on what you saw, you have to start somewhere with the growth and the skill set. And like I said, those moves to beat your opponent. And I feel like we're seeing that.
If you're right, what I do want to see is the idea of a Montez Sweat opposite Austin Booker with a chess piece like Dio Dobingo, Obingo moving around and finding space to make plays happen.
Yeah, on pass, a rover.
On obvious passing downs.
Well, and again, just lean into what these guys do well. If you know somebody has this skill set and he's good at this thing, then go ahead and do it. Also, shout out to Jahdae Walker, by the way, who had a hell of a catch in the back of the end zone. And Luther Burden, who really did, I think, had some really solid body awareness and was able to know where down markers were and where he needed to be. As a receiver, as a rookie, when you've missed that much OTA time, to be able to do so, I think that says a lot about the skill set that he's working with as well.
I don't want to say too much because not enough has happened yet as far as preseason game number one, but there were positive signs for a lot of these guys that you're just hoping, hey, can I see it again next week against the Bills?
Yeah. I mean, I don't need a rookie catching a ball out of bounds. You know, for example, did we see that yesterday? No. Even see a lot of penalties relative to what you see in a first preseason game?
No, it was cleaner. It was clean. Look, it was clean.
Did you see what the offense was trying to do?
Absolutely.
There it is. Like, in the NFL, you can hide information all you want. How are you executing it? And good play calling makes you look at good execution.
Certainly improves your chances.